The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and the disciples passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they had argued with one another, "Who is the greatest?" He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be the first must be the last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'd like to look at the first reading from the Wisdom of Solomon. It was written in Greek, probably in Egypt, around 30 BC. So that means it wouldn't have been written by Solomon, but it never claims to be written by Solomon. That's just a title on it. However, it does give us valuable insight into Jewish thinking the generation before the birth of Christ. So it's very relevant for understanding the teachings of Jesus in the early church. The very first verse of the book begins with an exhortation: "Love righteousness and seek God with a sincere heart." It then warns that sin and evil are a barrier to union with God, and that seems like good advice. And I dare say even people who don't believe this is the Bible would not know it wasn't the Bible if you just laid those verses up. In verse 12, it says, "Do not invite death by the error of your life, because God did not make death and he does not delight in the death of the living." Where does death come from? This book will say later it comes from the deceit and jealousy of the devil. That's not exactly a foreign concept to most Christians. The themes of death, immortality, and right living figure heavily in these three chapters, and it's worthy of consideration in your daily reading and in the behind the sermon posting, which is going to be on the website. I go more in depth into this reading, but I do want to highlight a few things. First of all, it seems like he's in opposition to a group called the Epicureans. Now, he writes around 30 BC. Epicureans had been around for a couple hundred years before him. And here's what the Epicureans believed: that the world was material and it's made up of atoms. Does that sound vaguely familiar to anyone? All right, this is over 2,250 years ago. So this idea that, well, we know stuff they didn't know. They believed that the world was made of atoms, and then wisdom lays out some of their beliefs, which we know about from other sources as well. "We were born by mere chance." Ever heard that one? And evolution is going to show up again in these beliefs. "We were born by mere chance, and we shall be as though we had never been when we're gone. So might as well enjoy life while it lasts." Ever heard that one? Not a new idea. "Our name will be forgotten in time, and no one will remember our works." That's why we put our names on the windows, so people can read our names and say, "I wonder who that was," right? "Let us enjoy the good things that exist," says every TV commercial every day, every radio commercial every day. Grab the gusto. Enjoy life while you can. Verse 11, "Let our might be our law of right, for what is weak proves to be useless." That's called evolution as well. The philosophy of evolution. I'm not talking about biology. I'm talking about the philosophy of evolution. That might makes right, comes from here, and that the weak are useless. And that's a societal belief that you're going to see played out more and more in our own day and time. The author said, and I hope you heard this, that they are blind, they being these opponents, are blind to the purposes of God and do not comprehend holiness, which would be the whole theme of last week's sermon, that we are blind, we are deaf, and that we don't understand the ways of God. He then declares that the death, those who have died, their souls are in the hand of God. That God holds the righteous in death, and they are at peace. So apparently, 2,000 years ago, that was as controversial as it seems to be today. Hence, the expression, there's nothing new under the sun. Now, this understanding of life and death are an important context for understanding the words of Jesus. And it's easy for us to just think about him as being Jesus and not think about the real context. If I were to tell you I got a death threat and I'll be dead this afternoon, would that impact how you would listen to this sermon? I didn't. I know this is treacherous to say because people don't only listen to half, so I'll read on Facebook today one of you posting that I'm going to be dead at 2 o'clock. But the point is, what Jesus says about death is in that context. I'm going to die, he says. I'm going to die. And the apostles, because they're tied up in the world, cannot hear it, do not see it, and cannot understand it. So instead, they have a discussion about who's the greatest. Well, who's the greatest, fellas? And I'm thinking, they're idiots, right? How can you possibly be worried about who's the greatest? Like, that's not something we ever argue about. We don't talk, we just don't. We're programmed not to do that. It's not proper. You have to be humble. We talk about whose kids are the greatest, whose grandkids are the greatest. It's called vicariously being the greatest. And as I was studying on the internet, some of my sources, the news, you know, you always have to go through the news thing first, right? And guess what the headline at the very top of the page was? 10 greatest guitarists of all time. And then it hit me. That's all we talk about, who's the greatest. I know who the greatest employee each month is at many local restaurants. Right? We have shows every month that celebrate the greatest actor, the greatest musician, the greatest songwriter, the greatest new person, the greatest left-handed person, the greatest right, all these subtitles so that everyone's name can be on the list. We have lists, and I see them all the time. The best places to live, the best places to work, the best places to be an old person, the best places to be a young person. Well, I just started getting sidetracked because that's the way I am. So I look at, you know, who's the best pizza? What's the best pizza in Memphis? What's the best restaurants in Collierville? Who's the best singer? What's the best car? What are the best shoes? What are the best shoes for running? What are the best shoes for walking? What are the best shoes when you're not going to have to run or walk, but they just look good? So then I said, I wonder if they have a list of the best taco sauces. Page one had three lists of the best taco sauces. I said, let's dig deeper. What's the best wart remover? No less than three lists of the best wart removers. In fact, there's a list of the 10 best places to find a 10 best list for the 10 best. I made that one up just because I'm like to hear chuckles. All right. So here we are in a world where we are consumed with lists of the best and the best and the best. And then I said, I wonder if they even have this about churches. First thing that came up, 10 best churches in Collierville. 10 best churches in Collierville. We were number 7. And I cared. I cared. And the people who don't care because they think we're the best church and say they don't care about the list. They're on the list of the 10 best people who don't care about lists that other people come up because they have their own list. The fact of the matter is, we would rather discuss LeBron or Michael Jordan. We would rather discuss Lexus or Toyota. I mean, we love debates about the best rather than focusing on what really matters. Jesus says, you want to be the best, you want to be the greatest? Serve other people. So we're looking for, what's number 2 on the list, right? I'm humble. I don't want to be the best. I don't want to have to serve. Give me something that doesn't require me doing that. And the reality is, if we understand what Jesus is talking about, how to serve, truly serve, how to die to ourselves, we will never fear death again. So Jesus offers salvation. Trust the way he says, I've chosen for you. Trust that way. Be the best. Serve others. Amen.